Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 21, verses 8 through 11. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." A while back, someone in our congregation took a break from scrambling eggs back in the kitchen and told me a story. Now, to prevent any embarrassment or anything, I'm not going to tell you who it was that was telling me this story. But I would like for you to know that the events in this story took place while he was a commercial fisherman, somewhere up in the far northwest, somewhere, I don't know, Alaska or somewhere up in that part of the world. Now, as the story goes, one day he was walking down the dock carrying, I think he said, like a big heavy roll of rope or something over his shoulders and so forth. And he was smoking his pipe as he normally did, walking along, and then stepped off the edge of the dock and fell into the ocean. Well, with everything that he was carrying, he immediately sank to the bottom and promptly started, you might guess, the process of drowning. Fortunately, he was able to drop this load and fight his way free with it and eventually fight his way back to the surface. Others helped him pull him out of the water, and as he tells it, the one thing that is clearly in his mind that he remembers about this whole story is that once they got him back up on the dock, he still had his pipe in his mouth. Now, I don't know about you, but when I heard this story, it was like a movie started playing in my head. I could just see him falling into the water. I could see the bubbles coming up past his face, the descent to the bottom of the ocean, lungs starting to burn, pipe wedged firmly in his mouth, and then fighting his way back to the surface and that first big breath of air when he came out of the water. There's something about the way stories work. Some people will hear a story and they listen to it intellectually and they separate the facts from the story and that's the end of it. So it would be this fisherman was walking down the dock one day, fell in the water accidentally, but he got out okay and everything was fine. End of the story. But others can't help but kind of helping to experience that moment a little bit. There's that first sickening moment when your foot reaches out for solid ground and there's nothing there. Have you ever gone down a flight of steps and you were sure you were at the bottom step, and only to find out there was one more? That instant of panic and stuff. Just imagine stepping off the edge of the deck and falling into the water. Then there's the splash of water and the sudden freezing shock of ice water all over your body and the weight pulling you down into the water. And you twist and kick and you try to get free and your lungs maybe start to burn. Panic starts to set in, and then blessed relief as you break the surface and take that first deep breath of air. Boy, does that make you appreciate air. When we live a story in our minds, we can feel it happen. And when we can feel it happen, it stays with us and we learn lessons. The lesson might be, if you're walking down the dock, watch where you're walking. But why does that matter? Why does that matter to us? Because when we engage our senses, when we don't just hear words, but we actually live in the moment, it creates an understanding that's far deeper than just hearing the words. It might even change how we live our lives and how we think. And isn't that what we really want to get from Scripture? We read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." Rather than just hearing words intellectually and searching for their meaning, how much more powerful would it be if we actually experienced some part of the story? If for just a moment we can smell the sea air, we can taste the gritty dust as it floats over the road, you can feel the energy in the air, the tension, the hope, the pain, you hear the noises around you, you can feel the sun shining down on you, you can taste the salt on the tongue. How much would that deepen our understanding? I'm hoping maybe we can do a little bit of that this morning. Let's not just hear about the day Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Let's try to go there just a little with our minds. So it was likely a beautiful spring day, like maybe today. Jesus wakes up early, eats a breakfast of flatbread dipped in olive oil, maybe some fresh fruit. He gathers his few belongings and sets out on the walk, the 2-mile hike from Bethany to Jerusalem. The temperature is probably somewhere around 60 to 65 degrees, and there's a light breeze blowing down off the Mount of Olives. People are gathering on the road, and you can smell the dust kicked up as people press in close, trying to get a look at this Jesus that they've heard so much about. You can hear voices of children laughing and calling to each other, people talking around you. You can hear the lambs that are being brought for the sacrifice at the temple bleating. More and more people are joining the road. People from Jericho and Galilee and Emmaus and Hebron, from all over, gathering to celebrate Passover. But it's not just Passover that has them stirred up. Stories have been spreading over the last months, stories of miracles. A man who could make the blind see, cure incurable diseases, and even raise the dead. And the anticipation of the crowd is growing and more excitement. The Messiah has arrived. The people are remembering the words of the prophet Zechariah, the words we read in chapter 9. "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey." Imagine the electricity in the air right now. This very moment, that prophecy is being fulfilled right now. People are weary, tired of Roman rule. Taxes are prohibitive. All their freedoms have been limited. Even their worship has been regulated. The robes of the high priest are kept under Roman lock and key and only allowed out when Pontius Pilate or Caesar permit it to happen. People are tired. Pontius Pilate is always on the lookout for unrest and rebellion in the ranks. The zealots are out and they are working towards rebellion towards Rome. And every time he hears something, they tighten the controls on the people a little more. And people are tired and weary of the Romans. But today, the population of Jerusalem will swell to 200,000 or more. And many in the crowd are hoping that Jesus is the one that will finally bring them liberation. We read in John chapter 12, verse 13, "They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.'" The moment is electric. The air crackles with anticipation, the joy, the emotion, all those years of longing and hoping. Everything is rising to the surface. People are waving their palm branches, laying down their robes, shouting, Hosanna. Tears are running down faces. The Savior has come. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now let's just pause our mental movie for just a minute. The crowd freezes. Dust is hanging in the air. The noise fades into silence. And another thought comes to us. In the midst of all of this, what is Jesus thinking? What is Jesus feeling? As a man, how is all of this attention and excitement affecting him? Is he smiling and waving? Is his face somber? Maybe it's even sad. What must be going through Jesus' mind? We read in Luke chapter 18, verse 31 through 33, and taking the 12, he said to them, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man will be accomplished. They will mock him, flog him, and kill him, and on the third day he will rise. Jesus is riding into Jerusalem, knowing betrayal, humiliation, and unimaginable death is waiting for him. What could he be thinking as he rides in? In Luke chapter 19, verse 41 through 44, we read, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Jesus weeps for the city, for what it has missed, for what is coming. What thoughts were weighing on him as the cheers and the hosannas echoed around him? And what can we take from this? Maybe a lesson in courage in the face of hardship. Jesus knew what was coming. He felt it all, and yet he rode on. True leadership, not domination, not pride, but humility and service is true leadership. Forgetfulness, faithfulness regarding feelings. It's easy to cheer when things go our way, but when they don't, can we still be faithful? Does First Christian Church Grand Junction weep for our world, for those who don't know him, for those with whom we so adamantly disagree? As we imagine a future for our church, will we be shaped by the compassion of Jesus? Can we respond by being his hands and feet in our community? You see, Jesus didn't come to win applause. He came to do his Father's will. In today's noisy world filled with opinions and conflict, we need to pause and ask ourselves, Lord, are we listening to you first? As we have our little group meetings and our discussions about moving forward and what we're going to be doing in upcoming years and stuff, maybe every meeting should start off with that thought, Lord, are we listening to you first? Sometimes following God will mean going against the crowd. It might mean being misunderstood or rejected. But yet we ask, Lord, are we listening to you first? Now, in our mind's eye, can we see the lonely figure of Jesus standing all alone in front of Pontius Pilate? We can hear the same crowd that shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, on Sunday, now shouting, crucify him on Friday. Can we follow Jesus even when it costs us something? As we plan for the future of our church, as we envision what First Christian Church Grand Junction might look like in the years to come, maybe these images from this day will help to guide us. From this one week in Jesus' life, we can take lessons. Maybe we can learn to face hardship with courage. Not everything that we do will be easy. Maybe we can learn to lead with humility, not power. Stay faithful even when things get difficult. Have compassion for the lost and the lonely in our world. Obey God rather than seeking popularity. Obey God rather than just seeking to bring people into tithe for the church. Jesus came not to please the crowd, but to do his Father's will. Can we focus on God's eternal kingdom? Can we rest in the unshakable love of God? You see, Jesus did all of these things. The question remains for First Christian Church Grand Junction, how will we respond? Will you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, you rode into Jerusalem with courage, knowing full well the path ahead. You faced the shouts of Hosanna with humility and the jeers of crucify him with grace. We stand at our own crossroads within our lives, our church, and our community. Give us hearts to follow you faithfully, even when the road may seem uncertain. Help us to be people of courage, to lead with not with pride, but with humility, and to love with compassion, even when it costs us something. Remind us, Lord, that your kingdom is not of this world, and yet you call us to be your hands and feet right here, right now. So as we leave this place today, Lord, may we walk in your footsteps, live in your truth, and love with your heart. In the name of the one who rode the donkey and carried the cross, we pray. Amen.